Thank you, everybody, for being here. All members are present. We have Senators Dyson, Calgary, Thomas, and Elton. Betty Davis here. We have two bills before us today, and we'll take an SJR 3 first. Is that right? I'd like for Senator Wilkoska to come up, please.
Madam Chair.
And you may.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Bill Wilkoska. I'm the Senator for Northeast Anchorage, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today on SJR 3. This is a Senate joint resolution that has been co-sponsored by, I believe, 12 other senators. And it's regarding Medicare reimbursement rates. There are approximately 55,000 Alaskans who rely on the federal Medicare program to meet their health care needs. As you know, Medicare serves seniors who are 65 and older, as well as certain Alaskans with disabilities and those with end-stage kidney disease. This is the largest health insurance program in the country, and one, obviously, that is of key importance to all Alaskans. Unfortunately, this program is increasingly letting down some of Alaska's most vulnerable citizens, and that should be of concern to all of us, and I think it is. There are numerous Alaskan physicians who say Medicare patients pay less than 50% of what it costs to treat those patients, and as a result, there is an increasing and alarming number of physicians who are refusing to accept new Medicare patients, and many are, in fact, terminating existing patients. This is leaving a growing number of senior and disabled Alaskans without access to medical care, including those with life-threatening illnesses. We've all read reports of seniors calling dozens of doctors before finding one that will see them. There was a recent Anchorage Daily News article, which is in your packet, dated February 18th, which discussed this. Senator Lisa Murkowski was in Anchorage recently and heard a number of people testify about the problems that they have obtaining medical care, seniors, that is. And unfortunately, the projections show the problem is only going to get worse. As you know, we have baby boomers who are turning 65 in 2011, 4 years from now. And the number of Alaskans on Medicare is expected to double in the next 25 years. The American Medical Association calls the Medicare reimbursement formula broken beyond repair. That's a quote. And a national survey of doctors conducted by the AMA found that nearly half will be forced to decrease or stop accepting new Medicare patients if reimbursement rates get any lower. There is also the United States Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, which concurs that rate cuts will only worsen patient access to medical doctors. The Military Officers Association of America says Medicare reimbursement rates are hurting military beneficiaries' access to health care, since military health care is linked to Medicare reimbursement rates. Unfortunately, we're told by the Congressional Budget Office that in 2008 alone, Alaska will lose about $8 million in federal payments to doctors as a result of cuts in Medicare reimbursement rates. And the CBO projects a loss of $240 million in Alaska between 2008 and 2015 as a result of planned rate cuts of nearly 40%. The problem is particularly worse here in Alaska, more so than in other states, because we have higher costs of providing medical care and we have fewer doctors. And the funding formula does not take those factors into account as it affects Alaska. In fact, Alaska is the only state in which Medicare reimbursement rates are even lower than those for Medicaid. This joint resolution calls on Congress and the United States Department of Health and Human Services to address this crisis by rewriting the formulas used to develop Medicare reimbursement rates for Alaska. Also urges Congress to address inequities in physician reimbursement that are leading to the collapse of the primary care system and limiting seniors' access to those physicians best qualified to coordinate their care. So I respectfully urge you to join me in supporting SJR 3 and helping to ensure that senior and disabled Alaskans get the medical care they need and have been promised. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions at this time? Senator Dyson.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this forward, Bill.
Thank you.
Does not the same situation appear is a problem with Medicaid?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, there is a problem with Medicaid. I don't think the magnitude is quite as large as it is with Medicare, however, for a couple reasons. With Medicaid, and I'm not, I don't mean to understate, I suppose, the concern with Medicaid, but the Medicare problem is particularly troublesome for a couple reasons. Number one, the Medicare rate is 25% less than the Medicaid rate. Second reason is we have, just by virtue of the number of seniors we have and the growing number of seniors we have, I testified before that the number is expected to double in near years. We can expect significant shortages in the Medicare area. So I don't mean to understate the concern with Medicaid, but we're seeking to address the Medicare issue at this time.
What's the reason for not addressing both?
I guess I could leave it up to this committee. If the committee decided they wanted to address Medicaid, I certainly wouldn't object to it. I just felt this particular time, this particular issue, we decided to tackle the Medicare rate. Like I said, if the committee decides otherwise, then I would have no objection to that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. On the Medicaid issue, talking last, Senator Dyson, so I understand the problem with that is mostly with the cost of drugs, and whereas most of or a lot of the money that is spent through that is also under insurance. So if I go and get some medication, and they charge me $10 a pill for the medication, the average wholesale price that is established by the industry, and that average wholesale price should be in quotes, our insurance or Medicaid picks up the difference. And I think there's major problems with this average wholesale price that we've got on drugs. So I think that that legally we're looking into that from a legal standpoint, and we had extensive hearings on that earlier this year. So I think it's two different issues. I think this is a good one to start, but the other issue, there's another solution than throwing more money at it, I think. Let's get the price of drugs to a reasonable cost. And that's more of a statement than a question.
All right, thank you. Any other comments before we take public hearings? Testimony? Now, I see that we have one person signed up to speak to. We have Commissioner Jackson. You want to come forward?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, yes. Carlene Jackson, Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services. And I just want to thank Senator Wilikowski and other sponsors of the bill for bringing this forward. The Medicare program, as you all know, is a federal program and not a state program, and so the only fix is to work with congressional delegation and the federal government to try to change that Medicare rate. You've heard already reasons why that's so important. The only other thing I would add is at Senator Murkowski's field hearing for the Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Congressional Committee, one of the comments that we heard in testimony was that a doctor would have to see a patient every 7 minutes in order to break even in terms of seeing Medicare patients and the dollar amount of what it costs them to do that. So really is a critical issue, especially as Alaskans are aging. And I would encourage you to support this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions of the commissioner? Thank you so much for coming forward. Is there anyone else signed up to testify on this particular piece of legislation? I only have that one name. I guess there are no others, or is there any other comments to be made by the committee? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Chairman Davis. I guess I should have asked the commissioner maybe the question as we're looking forward to the governor setting up her committee on health care. Senator Cowdery mentioned the concept of the pharmaceuticals and the price of pharmaceuticals, which is a 10% to 15% at least portion of the pie here. But also, I would hope, I guess this is more a statement, that the pharmaceutical folks as well as the insurance will be part of the mix that's brought in there, keeping in mind, though, that most people are going to be advocates for themselves in the long run. So when you get all the stakeholders together, sometimes they're advocating for themselves rather than for the problem that you're trying to fix. So I guess it's not a question, but a comment anyhow, that hopefully that will be the case when you get together. Thank you.
All right, thank you. It is my intent, then, if there is no other questions, to move the resolution along to the next committee of referral. What's the wish of the body?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we move SGR3 forward to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and with the accompanying fiscal note. Did we get one?
Zero.
Zero.
And ask for unanimous consent.
It has been asked that we have unanimous consent to move the bill forward. I don't hear an objection. So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
This is just one of the bills you saw. Don, just bring this in.
Our next bill is dental assistance. No, hygienist, I'm sorry. Dental hygienist.
This is just fresh.
Fresh, okay.
Would you come forward, please, to give testimony on the bill? Could I ask if everyone have the new bill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We can start.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis. Senate Bill 98 is an act relating to dental hygienists. Senate Bill 98 will greatly improve the oral health care, overall health, well-being, individual appearance, and comfort of Alaskans across the state. Senate Bill 98 allows Alaskans better access to professional training, skills, and technology available to meet their oral health care needs with expanded services provided by dental hygienists licensed under Alaska Statute 8.32. Many Alaskans either cannot afford oral or regular oral health care, do not understand the need for it, or live in areas or facilities not served or generally served by oral health care professionals. Senate Bill 98 will also help stem what the Surgeon General reported as, in quotes, silent epidemic of oral diseases affecting our most vulnerable citizens. No one, he said, should suffer from oral diseases or conditions that can be effectively prevented and treated, end quote. Dental hygienists licensed under this statute are well prepared to deliver the oral health care services specifically defined and authorized in Senate Bill 98 under the direct, indirect, or general supervision of, or in collaboration with, licensed dentists with board approval. Similar services are performed by dental hygienists in other states. Dental hygienists are licensed by the state only after successfully graduating from American Dental Association accredited dental hygiene programs or other programs accredited by the board and passing a National Examining Board's restorative examination and state clinical examination. In addition to the usual services allowed under 8.32 Alaska statute, Senate Bill 98 permits a licensed dental hygienist to, one, place restorations into a cavity prepared by a licensed dentist and thereafter carve, contour, and adjust contacts and occlusion of the restoration. Two, administer local anesthetic agents if certified by the board and performed under direct, indirect, or general supervision of a dentist. Three, enter into a collaborative agreement with a licensed dentist with approval by the board authorizing the dental hygienist to perform defined procedures or services without the presence of the licensed dentist. Services provided by the dental hygienist under collaborative agreements require prior board approval and a minimum of 4,000 hours clinical experience within the prior 5 years. Now, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 98 has a few differences that should be noted in your handout, indicating four changes. They're relatively small changes, but I will...
Excuse me. I would like for you to do the first. I need to have them accept that as the new substitute. You have the original bill, and before we go any further on this, the reason you have before you now is a CS is that I was asked to mirror the one over on the House side. The bill has been heard in two committees over there. It's in finance and probably will end up here, at which time I would like to say that we've already heard that bill and we agree with the changes that have been made, and then you may give the explanation for the changes in it. Would you accept the CS in front of you? Would somebody give that?
Yeah, I'd make a motion that we accept the committee substitute for House Bill 98 as a working document. Ask for unanimous consent.
Okay, it is the C version of the CS. Yes. Okay, you may give the explanation now.
Well, in a part of the handout that you have received, it says differences between original bill and committee substitute. It's in large print. Number one is this: the language of the committee substitute specifies that a licensee must be licensed in Alaska or be licensed in another state or U.S. territory with a board approval. Section 4 of the collaborative agreement in subsection A specifies that the dentist must be licensed in Alaska under Alaska statute 08.36. Number 3 states in, again, section 4 of the same subsection with another subsection A under agreements that changes the words chemotherapeutic agents to periodontal therapeutic agents. Finally, the fourth subsection under collaborative agreements, subsection D, and this is, I think, a new subsection to the original. The committee substitutes limits the board to approving no more than 5 collaborative agreements with a licensed dentist, not including any collaborative agreements that have been terminated.
Okay, thank you. Does the committee need more time to look at the new CS? Senator Elton.
Madam Chair, just a quick question of maybe I'm Tom, and I understand we're trying to get in line with the House bill, but I'm curious, Tom, that the House bill says that the dental hygienist must be licensed in Alaska or must be licensed in another state, while providing that the dentist must be licensed in Alaska. I mean, why would we not want the dental hygienist to be licensed in Alaska also?
No, I think that it implies that none of this happens without board approval. In other words, even if a person comes in from another state, they're still going to have to have board approval to practice in this state, which means that if they don't accept their qualifications from another state, or educational or otherwise, license or no license, they're not going to be able to practice here. Now, there are probably people, you know, that could more carefully explain that from the people offering to testify, but I would assume that we don't have oral hygienists that can just walk into the state and practice without some type of board approval. We do it. There are licensing examinations, and there are also I think, as explained in the sponsor statement, that they have to go through substantial training in order to and graduating from particular programs and passing a national examining board and a state clinical examination. So again, there are state qualifications for licensing, and the licensing will only be, as I understand it, through the state. And so it may not read that way if you're interpreting it under those circumstances. And, you know, that may have to be clarified at some point, but that is my understanding of the licensing procedure.
Madam Chair, I'm yes. looking at the language on page, version C, the language on page 1, beginning on line 11, where it does say, pass the Western Region Examining Board's restorative examination or other equivalent examination approved by the board. Or, and then you continue, or the licensee is licensed in another state or United States territory to perform restorative functions. Maybe that's where I'm getting confused. It seems to me that what we're doing is we're allowing somebody that is licensed in another state or United States territory to perform restorative functions, so that we're kind of saying that, hey, if you've got this certification from another state, you're then allowed to do it here.
Through the chair, Senator Elton, if I think this statement has to be taken into account with the preface starting at the beginning of the section, which says the board shall issue a restorative function endorsement to a dental hygienist who is licensed under the chapter if the licensee furnishes this information, okay, satisfactory to the board, successfully completed all these examinations, passed the Western Regional, et cetera, within the last 5 years, passing the endorsement, or the licensee is licensed in another state or territory to perform restorative functions. They still have to meet board approval, as I see it, just based on the beginning. It says the board shall issue a restorative function if they meet this, but maybe I'm interpreting it differently.
And Senator Elton, there are some other people to testify. They might be able to shed more light on that.
Thank
if
you.
Not, it's something we can pick up after the testimony.
Thanks.
See if we do need to make the change. Thank you. We do have Gail. I'm sorry.
Can I ask, maybe not wrong, but how many other states have adopted this similar legislation?
I think that, as indicated in maybe the handout here, and we have a series of attachments that you may have that indicates that. I'm just trying to find the number of the states here. Are there how many?
It's four.
There are at least four others, but I think there are at least two listed in one of the this one of the handouts.
That's what I'm calling on.
Oh. Other states. This is under SB 98 and Act. This is the fact sheet. It says local anesthesia. Other states, the states of Ohio and Oregon allow local anesthesia under general supervision. That was one of the issues in this, was general supervision. There have been no disciplinary cases against them. there might be other people online as well that could offer suggestions as to which states might be doing this as well.
Maybe if other people, I just want to get that question. Anybody that testified maybe can help answer it. How many dentists, hygienists are we graduating every year from the university here? Do you have any idea?
Through the chair of Senator Cowdery, I the only reason I know anything about that dental program is I use it myself. It's excellent, and it is a I think it's a 2-year program, and they rotate probably the people that I've seen. It looks like, you know, they're the people that work any one day are like 8 or 10. They might, I have no idea how many they have, but I understand it's a very competitive program to get into, and we should probably, I can probably give you that answer or get that answer to you.
Get it.
Thank you. Maybe somebody else that testified knows too. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. At this time, I'm going to call on Gail Walton.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I will try to answer some of those questions as I'm going along here.
Would you repeat your name for the record, please?
Yes, it's Gail Walton. I am a licensed dental hygienist from Wasilla. and I am a member of the Alaska State Dental Hygienists Association.
Thank you.
And I'll try to answer those questions as I'm going along here a little bit. First question about the hygiene students. I believe that UAA has 12 graduates each year, and there is a potential program that's being developed at University of Alaska Fairbanks where 6 students would graduate. So that would be a total of 18 dental hygiene students graduating in 1 year. And it is a 2-year program of dental hygiene, but there are prior curriculum that are required prior to that. So,
is that, Senator Cowdery, is that enough in your mind to graduate, or should we be more active in our in a university?
Are you asking me that question?
Yes.
That's pretty. I went to a school in Idaho that graduated 30 per year, but that is a larger state, people-wise, not necessarily, of course, area-wide, and that would be something that UAA would have to look at. It is a pretty expensive program to run, I know that, and there's probably somebody that could better answer that question later on as far as the expectations that UAA has for increasing the numbers.
Thank you.
I'm just going to run through a few quick facts about Alaska, and then I'll go from there. So, currently, the needs of Alaskans are not being met by the current oral health care delivery system. The current statutes and regulations that prevent dental hygienists from providing oral health currently prevent dental hygienists from providing oral health care to the public in non-traditional settings. Dental hygienists receive a comprehensive education, are licensed and regulated by the state, and we have mandatory continuing education and CPR requirements. Ultimately, hygienists are not being utilized to their full potential. The Alaska Board of Dental Examiners, which licenses and regulates dentists and dental hygienists, met in February and voted to support Senate Bill 98. They concluded that the proposed statute changes are consistent with their vision to ensure that all Alaskans receive the best possible care. In addition to the Board of Dental Examiners, Senate Bill 98 has also received support from members of the Oral Health Coalition, including the Alaska Primary Care Association and the AARP. Going into the discussion on the restorative function license endorsement, I can clarify that basically the comment about the licensee having had a license in another state or jurisdiction, the same would be the case of a hygienist that would be moving to Alaska from another state and has a license to practice hygiene. They still have to get a license in Alaska, but they have that already established in another state, so they don't have to go through the whole process of licensing again. Does that clarify a little bit?
Yeah.
Just a minute. Senator Ellison.
Thanks. It's Gail?
Yes, sir.
Gail, this is Senator Elton, and I'm the one that had asked the question. I'm assuming that there are reciprocal agreements then for dental hygienists that leave Alaska and go to Idaho or another state?
Right. If I'm licensed in Alaska to deliver local anesthesia, if I go to another state, they still have to give me a license in that state. I can't use my Alaska license to give local anesthesia in Idaho or Washington or any other state. I have to receive a license for the state that I am working in.
But the Madam Chair, but yes. but the board would allow the same courtesy that we're giving then here in Alaska, would say, okay, you have a license in Alaska, therefore we're going to certify, for example, the state of Idaho board would certify you if you move back to Idaho.
Right. There aren't different exams for the restorative function. Currently, REV is the only restorative function licensee for hygienists that I'm aware of. There are, this gets into the confusing part, there are some states that don't allow hygienists, let's say from Virginia, that were credentialed by a different licensing board, because there's different ones. There's the REV, there's a central, anyway, so, but basically what, getting back to the point of this is that the board will still have to issue a license based on these. They would have to have successfully completed a program accredited by the commission. They would have had to pass the Western Regional Examining Board or they could have been licensed in another state, but the board would still have to say that that is satisfactory before they would get the license. They could still say no if to a hygienist that has worked in another state or territory that has priorly done restorative functions. The board could still say no, you haven't been using it enough, et cetera. The board still has to say yes.
Okay, thanks, Gail. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so basically what the restorative function license endorsement is meant to do is create an efficient oral health care delivery system that increases the number of patients that can be seen in a limited amount of time. I'll move on to local anesthesia since we've pretty much gone over the endorsement portion. Local anesthesia has been in the statute since 1981, and there has never been disciplinary action taken against the hygienist for the administration of local anesthesia under the current statute. Dental hygienists need and use local anesthesia to reduce stress and provide pain control in the treatment of moderate to advanced gum disease. Under general supervision, a dentist is still required to diagnose and treatment plan the patient's needs. And whether or not a hygienist administers local anesthesia without the dentist in the practice remains at the discretion of the supervising dentist. There are 40 states where hygienists are licensed to administer local anesthesia. Two of those states, as were discussed, are Idaho and Oregon, where this can be done under general supervision. Going on to the collaborative agreement portion, this has the potential to provide the greatest impact to Alaskan communities. It allows hygienists with experience to enter into a written agreement with a dentist that must be approved by the Board of Dental Examiners. The hygienist would be able to provide services listed under the agreement without the supervision and prior to the dentist seeing the patient. This would allow hygienists access to nursing homes and hospital facilities, homebound individuals, schools, Head Start programs, and rural areas where dentists are rarely available. The intended benefit is to reach individuals that are not receiving care and provide preventive services that not only increase oral health care, but general health and well-being as well. In conclusion, all of these dental hygiene statute changes have been implemented in other states and have been proven to be safe and effective. All statutes show our continued professional commitment to working collaboratively with dentists and providing services to the public by dental professionals that are formally educated and licensed by the state of Alaska. Please support Senate Bill 98.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
We also have to testify, this is Rena Bohr. Is Rena online? We'll come back to that then.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, this is Rena Bauer testifying for SB 98.
Yes.
I can go ahead and answer a few of those other questions. I was on the Board of Dental Examiners for 5 years, and all hygienists are licensed by the state, and we do have credentialing and reciprocal with other states. It does mean that each dental hygienist would have to meet the parameters and the criteria set down by this state for the restorative function. And as I believe this bill is written, that it doesn't prevent a hygienist from getting a dental hygiene license, but it may prevent her from having a specific restorative functions license. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I am also the new faculty director of dental hygiene programs here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the Tenenbaum Valley campus. And I'm speaking in support. I am a licensed dental hygienist in the state of Alaska, and I am a member of Alaska State Dental Hygiene Association. And I strongly support this House bill, the Senate bill, excuse me. It will, I think, very strongly enhance our ability to attract students from the rural communities as they can come into our program at the University of Fairbanks, which we're anticipating beginning and seeing students our first class in January of 2008. That with the collaborative agreement and the enhancement of general, indirect, direct, or general supervision of anesthetics, would just further enhance our ability to serve that rural population. And that rural population obviously will encompass the elderly, the nursing homes, schools, the clinics that have been very generously provided by our state, which are now underutilized. I also feel that I don't remember. I think it was it Senator Dyson who asked about the amount of graduates that we had from each school. We're planning to have 6 graduates from the University of Fairbanks, which we're anticipating should, again, everything come into place as it we're anticipating, would graduate in May of 2009. And there is a student, you were asking if it was the right amount or if we should increase that. Those standards of the amounts of graduates that we graduate from the University of Alaska in Anchorage and Fairbanks are based on the American Dental Association's Code of Dental Association requirements that there's a 1-to-6 student to instructor ratio in clinic when they're physically seeing patients. The program is very expensive to have, and the ratio is difficult then to increase because of each person, each 6 students you add, you have to add 1 instructor. If you add 13 students, you have to add 1 full instructor. If you add 6 students, you have to add 1 full instructor. So as that continues to increase, obviously the cost increases. I personally graduated from the largest hygiene school that they ever had at UAA of 18. They've never had one that large since. And it was, I understand now in my wisdom, that it was quite a juggling act. Are there any other further questions that I may answer for someone?
Senator Carragher has a question, please.
Yes. Yeah. How many are we graduating every year let me phrase it different. Do we have any information how many dentists and hygienists are currently in rural Alaska, and how can we attract more dentists to rural Alaska and hygienists?
Senator Kadri, that is the question of the ages. I don't have a feel for how many hygienists are actually in there, and I would think most of those hygienists at this point would be employed by ANMC. I can certainly find that out for you, and I can certainly get back to you with that information. I do not know. I know there are dentists. I recently moved up here from Anchorage. I know there are a few dentists in Anchorage that do fly to rural bush communities on a regular basis to provide that care and do take staff with them. But I am completely, I know I do not have a number for you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, also, restorative hygiene is currently being done in California, Washington, and Colorado, as far as I'm aware of.
Okay, thanks.
When you ask for the state.
Ms. Dovish, Overmeyer, did you have something to add to that?
Madam Chair, Senator Cowdery, in response to your question about the number of dental hygienists by region, there should be in your package a number of dentists and hygienists by region. It's a little bit difficult to read, but it does indicate on the right-hand column the number of hygienists, dental hygienists. The third column over is the number by region, and then it has the number per 10,000. And you'll notice that in Anchorage, this source is supposed to have been active, good as of licensing on January of 2007, 270 in the Anchorage Matsu region, Gulf Coast, that's Kenai, Kodiak, Valdez, 45 in the interior, including Fairbanks, and that is really only Fairbanks. And then the northern region is 2. Nome, North and North Slope, and then the southeast region has 48, with the predominant number, of course, in Juneau, 26. Finally, the southwest has 5, which is in the Aleutians. On the right-hand column, you'll also notice that the number per 10,000 reflects the difficulty in the rural area, because the Alaska has 7.47 per 10,000. And where the U.S. average is supposed to be 6.0, but they're concentrated only really in the Kenai, Kodiak, Valdez, and the Anchorage area. When you drop down into the interior, you're looking at 4.41 per 10,000. Fairbanks is 5.13.
and it's for the most part very low. And so the question is good. It's very difficult to serve the rural areas. And that's one of the reasons for this dental hygiene program is to try to get people into those areas.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. We do have other people to testify. Is the Michael C. Booth?
Here.
You may testify. Can you hear me? Yes.
My name is Mike Booth. I am a general dentist in Anchorage and currently the president of the Alaska Dental Society. You should be have before you a letter on Alaska Dental Society letter.
Yes, we do.
So, educating rural Alaskans about proper oral hygiene and diet combined with access to dental care in underserved areas is one of the greatest challenges facing dentistry in the 21st century. And it is even more crucial in our state of Alaska. The Alaska Dental Society is committed to finding solutions to this complex problem. We support the increased use of dental auxiliaries, including broadening the scope of duties of all dental auxiliaries, hygienists, and dental assistants. We see that as an important part of the solution. The Alaska Dental Society has worked for the past two legislative sessions promoting bills that broaden the scope of duties of assistants and hygienists. SB 98 and HB 136 will broaden the scope of duties for dental hygienists. However, the fast pace of these committee hearings this session has hampered discussions between the Alaska Dental Society and the Dental Hygiene Associations. Recently, though, we have agreed on one important change, which we understand will be made to SB 98 and HB 136, and this regards allocating the administration of local anesthesia under general supervision to fall solely under the newly established provision for collaborative agreements. Based upon the commitment to make the agreed changes, the Dental Society encourages passage of SB 98 by the HES committee, and we look forward to providing unqualified support for both bills following the adoption of the one agreed upon amendment. So basically, we just wish to move the local anesthesia under general supervision to fall under the collaborative agreement, and the Hygiene Association has agreed with us to do that.
All right, thank you.
One more comment. I have taught at the UAA Dental Hygiene School or in that program for the better part of 25 years. It has always limited itself to 12 students. They have the facilities to accommodate many, many more. I personally think they should. When I've asked about that, I was always told that it was restricted by legislative funding. I know my dental assistant, a very qualified and very motivated woman, was turned down. So they have many, many qualified applicants, but they could accommodate, I would think, 18 to 20 students per year as far as qualified applicants and space that already exists. So it's the will of the legislature. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is that James Tooley there?
Yes, it's Jim Toll. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Dental Society. I'm really here prepared to answer any questions that may come about that other people are not prepared to address, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much. We do have other people online. Is there Roy Ann Rover?
Roy Ann Royer.
You may testify.
Okay, great. I'm Roy Ann Royer, and I'm from Chudiak, Alaska. Just a little bit of my background. I've been a hygienist for 29 years, and I've worked in private practice. I've been an instructor for 20 years in the dental programs at UAA. I currently do work in public health. I've traveled out to the villages, and I've been a consultant in many other areas of dental education. I'm also currently a member of the State Oral Health Coalition who does support this bill. Significant reason for my testimony is that I was educated and worked in Washington State as a restorative dental hygienist for 2 years. So that experience has provided me firsthand knowledge of how effective and efficient this expanded function is for increasing the number of patients that can be treated in a day. After working now in public health in the villages, I can really visualize how this function could be adapted to significantly enhance access in these areas. This expanded function, along with the collaborative agreement, would make a tremendous difference in the number of people who could be seen during a typical village visit. Briefly, a typical village trip, depending on the size of the village, is about a week. And if a hygienist could go out prior to the dentist and get the initial screens and simple preventative procedures completed, the dentist could come out the same amount of time as he usually is given for the village trip, but those additional days that he would spend doing those preliminary procedures could then be used for restorative procedures instead. So, and then in addition to that, the hygienist would be there and be available to perform restorative procedures when he arrived, assisting him, which then again would double the number of patients which would be able to be treated. So after working in the village for almost 15 years, I can really see this having a huge impact in village services. As an educator, I know that hygienists have the background, they have the education and qualifications to provide these expanded functions. I can see the collaborative agreement concept being incorporated into the curriculum and emphasis being placed on utilizing this function for servicing patients in nursing homes, the disabled or homebound patients. And I think externships would most likely be developed with practitioners who are currently working in these facilities, and then students would be mentored into these positions. I think it's really important to start at the basic education level to fully incorporate these concepts into the profession. But I do believe that there are many hygienists currently who would utilize this expanded function to work with a dentist right now. I know from talking with hygienists who are currently licensed, but they don't want to work full-time or a regular 8 to 5 days, maybe they have children in school, et cetera. Many have stated that it would be ideal to go into these limited access areas a few hours a day to provide services for these individuals and have it, you know, be a rewarding experience with the limited time they have to practice. So I think another important factor is SB 98 would be able to be put into practice immediately for providing increased access using the collaborative agreement function. The restorative function would take a little bit longer because the hygienists would have to be trained. However, I'm still involved in the UAA dental programs, and I know we're willing and ready to develop and implement restorative courses if this legislation does go through. These initial courses could be presented in a really condensed format instead of the semester course that students would receive, so current hygienists could be educated in a much shorter amount of time. And I have also been involved in the testing agency for getting licensed in this restorative area. So I know as an exam administrator that hygienists who pass this restorative exam that they have to pass to get licensed are very well qualified to do these expanded procedures. So I guess in summary, I would say I know these expanded functions we're asking you to endorse in the legislature have been approved in several other states and do increase access to care. And I think SB 98 is an excellent approach to immediately provide better access to dental care for both urban and rural residents of Alaska.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions of Mrs. Rohr? The next person is Dr. Glenn Martin.
Is that for Glenn Martin?
Yes.
Good afternoon, folks. I'm going to read my statement. For the record, my name is Dr. Glenn Martin, and I have no affiliation with the bill. I am a practicing public health dentist in Alaska, a member of the American Dental Association, a fellow with the Academy of General Dentistry, and have completed a 2-year advanced practice residency. I practice in Bethel from 1992 to 2000, where I traveled to 50 villages. After Bethel, I worked in Southeast Alaska, traveling to 5 other villages. Currently, I live and work in Anchorage, where I'm the director of village travel for South Central Foundation Dental Clinic. From Anchorage, I have traveled to another 7 villages, including Aleutian Chain villages such as Atka. During the 15 years I have lived in Alaska, I have traveled to 62 villages and have 28 weeks of experience practicing dentistry in rural Alaska. I strongly support Senate Bill 98. If passed, this bill would greatly increase the number of patients I could provide health care. Utilizing the collaborative agreement portion of the bill would greatly increase efficiency. Hygienists could travel to the village prior to my scheduled trip and evaluate school children. For example, x-rays and oral screenings could be performed to identify the needs. Hygienists could then provide preventive procedures and, when I arrive, help with the restorative needs. Initial screenings take 1 to 6 days depending on the size of the village. Instead of me providing these screenings, I could utilize my time for restorative and emergent needs. If Senate Bill 98 passes, my time needed to complete the children's dental needs would decrease, and this would increase access to care for adult patients. The medical profession has viable mid-level practitioners. It is now time for the dental profession to enter the 21st century. In summary, passing Senate Bill 98 would make a measurable impact on access to care, and this is a win situation for everyone and hurts nobody. I urge the legislatures to pass this bill in all parts. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Dr. Martin.
Thank
Are there
you.
Any questions? We'll go now to Mary Certney.
Yes, this is Mary Cerny.
You may testify.
Okay. I'm a practicing dental hygienist. I've been licensed in the state for a little over 30 years, and I've practiced primarily in private practice with a few short jaunts into villages in the early days. I'm a member of the American Dental Hygienist Association, therefore the Alaska State Dental Hygienist Association. I just recently termed out as a member of the Board of Dental Examiners. I finished earlier this month after serving two terms, and I currently am an examiner with the Western Regional Examining Board, of which the state of Alaska is a member. I've also served on committees for the Western Regional Examining Board, alias REB, in the development of the examinations. Each year we have to tweak them a little more, and also in the calibration of examiners. Just to backtrack a little bit, dental hygienists have the formal education in programs accredited by the American Dental Association's Council. They must pass the written national boards and must prove competency on an independently administered clinical exam, such as the REB, in order to practice in all states and territories of the United States. The education is generally 2 years of college prerequisites with a heavy emphasis on biological sciences, and then 2 full academic years integrated with their clinical instruction. For all of the accredited programs, the faculty are subject to standards and qualifications, and the programs are regularly reevaluated. This makes our RDH, the Registered Dental Hygienist Certificate, very similar and comparable to what an RN is to nursing. So if you can just kind of think along those veins. There was a question that I don't know was adequately answered earlier that was brought up. Under these statutes, every hygienist would have to have an Alaska license. These statutes and anything in this bill pertain to Alaskan licensed hygienists. There are 2 means by which a hygienist or dentist can get licensed into the state. One is by examination, and the other is by credentials, whereas their paperwork and history has been evaluated a little more intensely. This is usually a case of someone who's practiced at least 2 years for hygienist or 5 years for dentist. The local anesthesia license for a dental hygienist is merely an endorsement on their dental hygiene license, as would be the proposed restorative. So it's an additional endorsement, but it's not a license per se, because one would have to have the dental hygiene license first. The legislation proposing collaborative practice addresses the critical shortage of preventive health care available to many sectors of the population, and it provides an avenue for a hygienist to do the basic functions that all hygienists currently perform in an expanded setting. So far in the testimony, there's been a lot of talk about the villages, and I want to iterate that this would also have a profound effect on some of the communities on the road system that don't have a regular dentist. They have clinics set up where they can have traveling PAs or physicians that come to visit. A hygienist could likewise go into these villages and provide some measure of dental health preventive care. Villages or small towns like Toke, Circle, Valdez, Glen Allen, I don't believe they have dentists who live there. And so it not only increases village access to care, but also the people who are on the road system. I'm in firm agreement with requiring a hygienist to have 4,000 hours of documented clinical experience, and I will be an advocate for further regulations which need to be written for this statute. The restorative functions that are proposed are truly an expansion of what hygienists do in Alaska, but it's modeled after the system used in Washington and for at least three decades. The other two states that haven't been mentioned that do the restorative functions are Idaho, and Oregon is very, very close, but Idaho passed it a year or two ago. This allows the dentist and the hygienist to team up to provide more care. The additional requirements for the endorsement on a hygiene license would be spelled out in regulation, and then the hygienist would be required to pass a clinical competency board, such as that REV restorative exam, or as this amended version states, when it says, or is licensed in another U.S. state or territory, it means that that hygienist would have that restorative endorsement from one of those other states. So, you know, they still would have to be very much a dental hygiene, have a dental hygiene license that's active in this state. In summation, the proposed changes improve health care delivery to the residents of the state. They maintain stringent educational standards, thereby assuring the competency of the hygienist. These standards also assure the competency by requiring clinical exams, and they mandate accountability. Direct supervision when you're doing restorative functions, general supervision by the dentist for some of the other functions. I strongly encourage you to pass this bill out of committee, and would entertain any questions that anyone would have for me.
All right, thanks for your testimony. Any questions? Hearing none, at this time we'll go to David Logan. David Logan?
Yes, I'm here. I think they paged me in right at the time you said the name there. I only heard like a couple of syllables there. Hi, my name is David Logan. I'm a dentist here in Juneau. I'm also the legislative chair for the Alaska Dental Society. I would urge the committee to pass Senate Bill 98 out of committee. As Dr. Booth said earlier, there's still a couple of changes we foresee coming up in later committees and over on the House side there, but nothing so substantive as to hold this bill up. I would agree or echo the testimony of Ms. Cerny, who just testified there. I think that in Alaska, we have a place for mid-level providers of a different nature than are being used in some of the other states. And I would foresee additional ideas coming in the future of other ways to use other dental auxiliaries. As the Dental Society, we look forward to approaching this committee in a future date with a companion bill that would broaden the scope of duties of other dental auxiliaries. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, if there's any questions.
Yes. Thank you for your testimony. Dr. Logan?
Yep.
You said that there were some other amendments that you wanted to add to this bill. I'm not aware of those. It was not discussed on the House side, and it's not in my package.
I believe Dr. Booth reiterated it a little bit earlier there. Unfortunately, the fast pace of everything has the discussions between the hygiene organization and the Dental Society lagging behind the ability to craft any changes or anything. And if there, I believe the only only change left was that the provision for supervision of general anesthetic under general supervision was going to be dropped and moved solely under the collaborative agreement, which would essentially allow it under general supervision in areas that a hygienist is working on collaborative agreements. We had discussed also the necessity of adding a provision within the 0836 statute that would allow a dentist to sign a collaborative agreement. We've been ensured that isn't necessary to make any changes there.
All right, thank you. Is there Dr. Lucas?
Dr. Nathan Lucas. I'm a private practitioner here in Anchorage, and I also work part-time for the Alaska Native Medical Center. Prior to coming to Anchorage 4 years ago, I was out at Bethel for 5 years, so I'm familiar with the problems of delivering dental care in the bush, and I just wanted to briefly express my support for the Senate Bill 98. Prior to my coming to Alaska, I worked in Washington State at a migrant worker clinic just temporarily for about a month, but I was able to utilize an expanded function dental hygienist, and I was just impressed with the efficiency and her ability to provide quality dental care. So I have worked with the expanded function hygienist, and I had good experiences, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, thanks for your testimony. Any questions? No questions at this time, and that completes the testimony. Unless there's someone here in the building that didn't sign up that want to testify? If not, that completes the testimony. It is not my desire to move the bill at this point. There seems to be a bit confusion about something that should be added or at least looked at for the bill, and the goal of the hearing today was really to get the bill moving so that we can assure when the new other bill comes over, we can move those bills on up to finance so they can get accepted in this before the session is over. If you have no questions or any other statements to make concerning this bill, we'll just hold it for the time being and bring it back at a later date. There's nothing else to come before the body, so we can adjourn at this time, and it's 20 minutes till 3:00.